by the jazz cabaret duo Ann Osman and Dennis Yeary, who are joining us today here at our annex at the Catskill Community Center, WGXC. They'll be appearing in concert this coming Saturday, the 17th, at Gallagher's Banquet Hall, which is located at 513 Main Street in Cairo. And welcome, Dennis and Ann.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, Ron.
Hey. Can you tell us a little bit about that song and about what you're going to be doing on Saturday, the 17th?
Sure. Well, that song has been done by everybody from, you know, Frank Sinatra and Sarah Vaughan and all the way to Queen Latifah. So it's kind of a timeless song.
Yes, a standard.
Yeah, we love the story of it. We love the attitude. And it's one of the songs that's on our new CD, which is going to be released by the end of the year. The CD is called Optimistic Voices. And we do some songs, just Dennis and me with the piano. And on our CD, we're also joined by...
We're joined by a bass player named John Menigan and a drummer, Jeff Siegel.
So a trio format, yeah. Yeah. Sweet trio.
Mm-hmm. So Saturday it's going to be Dennis and me, piano, and it's a great space. If you haven't seen Gallagher's Banquet Hall, it's absolutely beautiful with mood lighting and great tin ceilings and tables and candles and a real jazz club environment. And there's a great group of people called Main Street Jazz. And in conjunction with John Gallagher of Gallagher's Banquet Hall, they've been bringing music to Cairo for about 3 years now. So we're really excited to be a part of that.
And this is your first, that will be your first appearance there.
Yep, that's our first appearance there.
Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit more with you, Shroy, but I think you wanted us to play another one of... We have a number of tracks from the pre-release of your CD, yes? This is a Jobim composition, I believe.
Carlos Jobim.
And if you look this up on Wikipedia, you'll see that they say that this was one of the first, if not the first, bossa nova tune ever written. It was written in 1958 by Jobim, and we do it in Portuguese because we felt like the translation... didn't fit, and there's been English words put to it, but we thought that the Portuguese words were much, much nicer and more appropriate.
And more romantic, I would.
So beautiful.
Yes.
The song is about the return of a lover, and there are lines in it that translate to things like, there aren't as many fish in the sea as the kisses I will give you on your mouth. beautiful song, and it's called Chega de Saudade.
Okay, so let's listen to Ann Osman and Dennis Yeary performing Chega de Saudade.
Minha tristeza e dizer-lhe que sem ela não pode ser. Diz-lhe numa prece que regresse, porque eu não posso mais sofrer. Chega de saudade, a realidade. Sem ela não há paz, não há beleza. Só tristeza, melancolia. Que não sai de mim, não sai de mim, não sai. Mas se eu voltar, que coisa linda, que coisa louca. Pois a menos beijinho. Na sua boca, dentro dos meus braços, os abraços só de ser meus, de abraços apertados, sim, colados, sim, colados, sim, abraços e beijinhos e carinhos sem ter fim, que pra acabar com meus negócios. Viver sem mim. Música. cantar, qué cosa linda, qué cosa loca. Pois há menos beijinhos a mandar no mar do que os beijinhos que eu darei na sua boca. Os abraços são de ser meus de abraços apertados sim, colados sim, abraços e beijinhos e carinhos sem ter fim. Que pra acabar com esse negócio de você viver sem mim, que pra acabar com esse negócio de você viver.
Okay. Anne Osmond and Dennis Yeary. That was Chega de Saudade, yes? And that's going to be on the soon-to-be-released CD release, Optimistic Voices. I want to welcome you. Thank you. This isn't quite the romantic environs of Gallagher's, but it's passable. I actually wish that maybe we'll post a couple of photos up on the WGXC website, because it's a very interesting setup we have here. Dennis and Anne will be doing a couple of songs live here as well, which is why you might be confused by the reverb that you're hearing during their part of the interview, because it's going through their amp and they've sweetened everything up. Yes, yeah, so it's a very interesting sound here. So Anne has a background in theater, both musical and dramatic, and Dennis is a jazz pianist and composer. As performers, your focus seems to have been on exploring, what's the deceptively simple pleasures of what's come to be known as the Great American Songbook Tradition, a combination of show tunes, pop and jazz standards. Basically, I guess you'd say it was like the glory of mid-20th century American song arts. And I'd like to get a little bit more background as to, specifically, how did you both get started and meeting each other?
Okay. Well, just as far as my individual background, I'm also an actor with a theater and cabaret background, both in New York and in L.A. So I've done a lot of theater and some film. My most recent film that's set for 2012 release that I appear in is Peace, Love, and Misunderstanding, directed by Bruce Beresford and starring Jane Fonda and Catherine Keener. My most recent project. But I've done a lot of theater and film, and in the last 10 or 15 years, I've gotten much more seriously into the intimate cabaret performance.
And I grew up in the Catskills, and I've pretty much played the piano my whole life, as far back as I can remember. And I've worked with, over the course of now so many years, I've done just a myriad of different things, from theater and jazz, and I played in jazz clubs in New York, and I played the Waldorf Astoria and some of the Tavern on the Green, but also the Knickerbocker. I used to play down at the jazz clubs in New York. And my dad is American Indian, Iroquois, and so I do traditional Native American music. I've done traditional Native American theater. I did Black Elk Speaks.
So you cover the gamut of the great American.
Not intentional. It's like, really? What really interests me and what I really have a good time doing and exploring. It's very, very fascinating to me. And I met Anne about how long ago? Maybe 10 years ago now?
Yeah, I think maybe.
Almost 10 years ago. When a mutual friend of ours recommended me for a piece that she was working on.
Yeah, I wanted to work on this obscure Leonard Bernstein song. And actually, there is an obscure Leonard Bernstein song that was cut from a show. And a friend of mine recommended Dennis. I needed to have it arranged and, transposed for me, and you cannot find this thing in print, it turns out. So he had to transcribe and arrange it for piano from a full orchestral recording, which you can just imagine the task at hand there. So I thought
it was not an easy piece.
No. If he could do that and we got along really well, I thought,
and it's only been maybe about a year ago that we started working together, though, as far as singing. Because I was doing her, helping her with her arrangements and accompanying her.
But in terms of actually performing together,
performing together maybe a year and a half.
Singing together.
Yeah, that's it.
So. Yeah, so that's exciting.
Yeah, so what do you, what are some of the pleasures of working in this jazz cabaret format? And I mean that in the sense that, you know, it's... there's a certain kind of timeless appeal to this, but that's also fraught with a certain kind of difficulty, too. I mean, you occupy this area that is seemingly buffeted a lot by the changing, opinions of what passes for popular music. I mean, have you found that to be any kind of a challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, just one of the things that we love that's so much fun about cabaret is the intimate setting, and doing live music in a not too large house where you're really connected to the audience and really sharing the beauty of the songs that you're doing, in a situation that's not overproduced, really appeals to us, the storytelling aspects of the songs.
And I'm a big melody person.
Okay.
I mean, I love exploring the melodies and I like rearranging them. It's kind of challenging and fun because we're doing a duo to be able to find the right key that both of us can sing in a good place, and that's challenging. All the arrangements and the introductions and the different things that we're exploring it's just a lot of fun to do. And then we really try to translate that to our show, especially Gallagher's, where it's very intimate and people will be right there with us and they can hear us. We don't have to turn everything up loud and, blast away anything. It's just a lot of fun to be able to do that. And I'm a very big live music person, too. I really love that because I see my son, he's 20 years old, and the kids walk around with the earbuds in their ears and, some of them probably have hardly ever heard live music unless they go to some concerts. But
sure. Actually, one might argue that even in many cases, concerts these days, it's not exactly live music. You're getting a lot of samples, pre-recorded beats, the actual having people physically play their instruments.
Imagine that.
We both really discovered that we both have a passion for some of these older classic, like Great American Songbook and Jazz Standard songs. There's just a wealth of material with really strong melodies, as you were saying, and really poetry. It sort of gets right to the point as far as being, it's not buried underneath a million beats and things.
So who are some of your influences? I mean, like, who do you kind of look to as a lodestar, for instance?
For me, one of the people I really admire is Nancy Wilson. Not the Nancy Wilson from Heart, the other Nancy Wilson, because I think she, again, sort of walks that line beautifully between jazz and pop and, different styles, and I just, and still never loses the story of her song. With an acting background, I love to hear people who sing and don't lose the narrative.
Well, when I was growing up, I think I got to hear so many different people, but I was very much into jazz, but not so much the traditional jazz. It took me a while to appreciate that, and I started out listening to like George Benson and the Crusaders and Joe Sample and people like that. I got to meet them later in my life, which was a thrill for me. And I always admired Quincy Jones, and then the more I found out about him and the more I found out about the older stuff he'd done, I really just loved the arranging aspect of everything. And
yes, the stuff he did through the late 40s or 50s especially,
And how it translated for him and for other people into a contemporary setting and how they were able to take their knowledge of music. And because a good friend of mine is always saying it's the creative force that helps people to get through. And again, it's very interesting how we're going through tough times economically and we're in these war situations, much like, back at the Depression.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of these songs came
here
from
we are. A lot of these songs came from that time, and they truly are American songs. They truly came from our...
But you don't limit yourself. I wanted to bring this up. You don't just limit yourself to the songs of that particular era. You're talking as well about trying to, I suppose, maybe update somewhat more modern songs and kind of fit that into the framework?
I mean, we take some of these older classic songs, and through interesting harmonies and fresh arrangements and things, we try to bring some new energy to those. But by the same token, we do mix in some more contemporary songs. But I guess you'd say we sort of do them in the tradition of those older songs in a certain way to make sure that they're kind of, again, that the narrative comes through, that we're really appreciating the melody and the...
Well, does this kind of come into the sense of timeless elegance? There's this interesting quote that Anne has from Stephen Holden talking about your performance as not necessarily in a bad way at all. It's not. I don't think he's being pejorative. It's about the sound of Manhattan under glass, of a sort of classic time standing still, and with the positive aspects of that.
As opposed to something being a museum.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, well, that's
alive and fresh, but you're just
That's what I was actually, that's the fine line, I guess, that I'm trying to bring out, because, there's definitely a sense of standing close to a historical tradition and working with that tradition, but you wouldn't necessarily want to err on the side of it being a museum piece and being dry and dusty. You want to keep it in the sense of engaging people.
Right, and to show that it's relevant, it's relevant today.
Yes.
The universal longings and, whatever in the music, that's always relevant, truly timeless.
I mean, the perfect example is Tony Bennett, as far as I'm concerned, Somebody
yes.
who happened to do an acoustic show on MTV and get a little push, and he's popular again. But why is he popular? Because he never sings a song the same way twice. He'll say that. He sings it just from his heart, and he feels